Welcome to Chili's Trans Tuesdays. On March 23rd, 2024, my wife and I renewed our vows and got married all over again so we could have one with the real me. It didn't go to plan, it wasn't perfect, and it was the best day of my entire life. Let's dive into a trans re-wedding. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the only lady so nice I'd marry her twice, Susan Bridges.
Oh, you called me nice.
Nice enough to marry twice. Doesn't mean you're necessarily a nice person. I'm not saying you're not. I just... Okay. This episode will be a little different from others as we don't have a guest this week. This episode is about our vow renewal and quote-unquote re-wedding, as we called it, and so this will just be us two.
Apologies.
I also... Stop that. I also want to say there are a bunch of photos in the Google Doc version of this topic, so you may want to drop by tillystranstuesdays.com to read it, or you can grab the link from any of my social media accounts. So, this re-wedding was something I'd thought about not too far into my transition. I didn't know if it would be possible and had no frame of reference for what it would be like, but I knew that one of the best days of my life had been entirely marred by my dysphoria, and I couldn't stop thinking about what it would be like to have a wedding without it muting everything into a painful gray paste. I have almost no gender dysphoria anymore, though occasionally it pops up in unexpected ways, and I imagine it always will. Maybe it won't. We can hope. But if you want to see what that struggle was like for me, see episode 59 of this show on gender dysphoria. And like, even if you are familiar with dysphoria, but you haven't absorbed that episode on it, definitely do that first, because you need to know what I was dealing with. So our original wedding was, look, I got to marry my best friend and the love of my entire life, and that was the best thing. But it also sucked a lot for reasons, for a lot of reasons, entirely unrelated to my lovely wife, Susan. For one, I was in a goddamn tux, which I hated, H-A-T-E-D. I always hated them because suits of any kind are just about the most man-coded clothing there is. I felt gross and disgusting, and it made me want to cry. You can listen to episode 15 of this show on heavily gendered clothes and trans people for a little more on my hate-hate relationship with tuxedos, suits, and neckties. But also, the wedding and reception were in two hotel ballrooms across from each other. They were... Look, the rooms were ugly as shit. Absolutely unpleasant to be in. I'm told the food was terrible, but I don't remember it. I've lost a lot of memories from that day due to all the disassociating I did for my entire life due to the aforementioned dysphoria. See the Trans Tuesdays on Trans Grief for a little more on the huge gaps in my memory from the dissociation I had to do to survive my dysphoria. Those were episodes 48 and 49. But also, the entire thing wasn't what we wanted. It was what everyone else wanted and expected. Not just in terms of weddings and apparent cis and straight people, but of Susan and me specifically. So getting to fix all of those things, too, was super exciting. Okay, so Susan, as the one of us who remembers our original wedding far better, what was that day like for you? Looking back, did anything seem weird about me being trapped in that tux all day? Did I seem happy at all?
I mean, I don't think either of us was happy.
No.
Because both of our families hated each other. And they hated, like, my mom did not like you.
She never has.
Your mother hated me.
Oh, yeah.
And our families are also extremely overbearing.
Yep.
My mother made sure to have her preferences taken into account.
Damn.
I let it happen at the time. And
yeah.
Your family was there, and they did not want to be there at all, it seemed. Like... My sister was my maid of honor and did nothing. And then my best friend, who I wanted to be my maid of honor, but my mother and sister could not be my maid of honor. Like, there's so many things.
Yeah.
And I was mad that the flowers had fake ivy in them. I specifically asked them not to put fake things in.
Right.
And I was angry.
Like, we paid for real flowers. And back then, we were so poor and had so little money. And
we had so few things we
tried to make our own.
Yeah.
And even those things didn't work.
Right. So we didn't get to pick a photographer. Again, your mother said, oh, I know a guy.
And it was some guy that used to be a photographer, but was actually retired and came out of retirement. And all the pictures had these huge shadows behind them. And
yeah.
It was just...
In an ugly room, too. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, but.
But? Did anything seem weird about you?
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't really focused on that.
Because everything else was so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
And that's terrible, because on your wedding day, you should be most focused on the person you're getting married to.
Yeah. And I didn't feel that way.
No.
Probably to either of us.
I don't remember a whole lot of it, but I still remember, because we did the quote-unquote traditional thing where I hadn't seen you in your dress, and you walked in and walked down the aisle. And I do remember you walking into the room the first time I saw you in your dress, because I was like, it's my wife, I love her so much.
That's very sweet.
That I remember. And I remember the officiant. We have a little thing that we said in our vows then, and we repeated it in our vows now, which we'll get to in a little bit, but didn't realize that she was supposed to say it all together. And so I was waiting for her to finish it, and she was waiting for me to repeat what she had said. And we just stood there, and the rings we had tied together with a little ribbon, and we couldn't get them untied easily. That's all I remember, though.
Yeah.
So,
I could even list even more things that were not.
Do you want to?
I do not.
Okay.
I think that's enough. I think y'all get the pitch.
We invited all the people we love and care about to our re-wedding, and not the people we were quote-unquote expected to.
Oh yeah, God, that was a whole other thing.
And while some, we'll get there in a second, and while some sadly couldn't make it for scheduling reasons, as always happens, we got to celebrate our love with the people we love, and that made it even more special. There were people at our original wedding that I didn't even know. And I don't mean as plus ones, that's fine and, you know, expected, but I mean people we invited, and I didn't even know who they were. And so even that change was amazing.
Trust that I didn't know them either.
I believe you. I got to wear a fancy dress. It's officially now the most expensive clothing item I own, and I loved it so much. Susan looked even more beautiful in her new dress than she did in the original one. Again, because this was one she liked and not what she was expected to wear. But it was supposed to be outside in this beautiful courtyard in Los Angeles. Of all places, rained us out.
And I want to say, it wasn't just rained out. It was pouring.
Yeah.
It was, and like, it doesn't pour in LA.
That's very rarely.
It's very rare that this happens. And
yeah,
it poured.
Yeah. Thankfully, the venue was able to move us into an adjacent ballroom, and we propped doors open on both ends and got a good cross breeze to make it as COVID safe as possible. But that meant a new worry about if it would be safe enough. It meant a ton of last-minute decisions, because where the ceremony was supposed to happen was completely soaked. It was under a white lattice arch. There's no cover from rain. In the photos, in the Google Doc version of this, you can see how wet the ground is, how cloudy the sky is. We were luckily able to snap some photos outside between bouts of rain, but we couldn't have the ceremony and reception out there. You can see it was giving me feelings as soon as we'd gotten home, when I posted to Blue Sky, "We are home. It didn't go to plan. It didn't matter. It was the single greatest day of my life. Susan, you and me, babe, until the world blows up." But it meant all the gorgeous flowers we paid a florist to decorate that lattice arch with had to go somewhere else, somehow. But they did a tremendous job of making a little ceremony space out of them. Initially, there's purple ones that match Susan's dress and bouquet, and they were going to go on the left side of the lattice where I was going to stand, and the pink ones that matched my dress and bouquet would go on the right side of the lattice where she was going to stand. But then the DJ had to find a spot to fit into the new ballroom, and the food stations we had paid for somehow had to fit in there too, along with enough tables to seat everyone, and a space to do the ceremony, and a quote-unquote dance floor that there really was no space for.
And I will say, all of those decisions pretty much fell to me, because you were getting your makeup
done. I was getting my makeup done and couldn't help you.
And the thing is, like, I was super stressed out by it.
Yeah.
That's because it was not what I wanted.
Right.
And I don't deal well when things are not what I want. But, like, also,
yeah,
I am trained as a professional project manager, so I could deal with it all, but I did not like
it. No, it's not a relaxing, fun way to spend your day. And also, some of the food was not what we'd been told it would be, which I'm less than thrilled about. If you were there and a little unhappy with the food selections, we apologize.
10 times as angry about it as you are.
Yes.
Let me.
We sent a strongly worded letter to them about it. But like so many things in life, nothing is perfect, right? I mean, it was and is the most perfect best day of my life, but it still wasn't exactly the way we wanted. But then what is? But it was filled with so much love and joy, and it was so perfectly us, I can't be anything but thrilled with it. We even had a bouquet duel, and if that ain't us, I don't know what is. So what was it like for you? I know it was stressful, especially with all those last-minute decisions, but did you love the day? Did it make you happy?
I mean, I was... The problem with me is I wear my stress on my face.
You do. It's very visible in a lot of the photos.
It was in the photo.
Yeah.
And like, I can't.
But not all of them.
I can't undo that.
But there are some of them where it's not there and you're just looking at me like you love me and they're the most beautiful thing.
That's true. And that the photographer realized very quickly that was the way to get my face to stop doing bad things.
Yeah.
But like.
She was really good. Kim New Money.
Yes.
Give her a shout out.
She
was awesome.
Pulled us out for pictures all the time.
Yeah.
Which was important because we have no good pictures.
Right. From our other one.
And like, you don't understand. I literally threw out the photo album from our wedding.
Yeah.
Like, I just pulled out some photos and just
absolutely.
And those were like for historical
rest.
Purposes. We don't love any of them.
No.
They're bad.
Yeah. Like, I don't want people to think, oh, you're overstating. No. No, if anything, this is an understatement.
And listen, that's not even me talking about how they're hard for me because that doesn't look like me and I can see my pain and the dysphoria. She's not even talking about that. They're just such terrible photos.
I will say
yeah.
that I stressed myself out further by knitting myself a wrap for the ceremony.
Yeah.
And it came out great.
It did. It was beautiful and it matched your dress so well.
I also, the alterations for my dress were a sticking point for me a little bit.
Yeah. But
it's really bad when you actually sew, too, and you're just a perfectionist and you just see every little thing that,
sure,
most people wouldn't see, maybe.
I didn't notice them.
Yeah. So, like...
Sure, no one else did either. But you did.
But I do, and I guess I wanted people to feel safe as well. And
yeah.
It's hard feeling like I let everyone down by it ending up being indoors. But other people told me they felt it was safe.
Yeah.
And that I insisted on the doors being open on
right.
both ends, and I made sure that happened.
There are other people who are as COVID cautious as we are that said that was the safest they'd felt indoors in years.
And some of those people were next to me when I was standing in the middle of that ballroom, and I said, I'm going to keep asking until they open the door, and I'm not going to stop until the doors open.
And they did.
And they did.
Yes. We got a nice cross breeze.
And it was, yeah, it ended up almost a little bit chilly. And
yeah.
Went outside too, and that was fine. It was actually fine.
Yes.
And the flowers were absolutely beautiful.
They were so beautiful.
They were the most beautiful flowers I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yes. Our bouquets, the arrangements that they put on they made the space on the floor with the flowers that were supposed to go on the arch. And we stood between them for the ceremony. And they looked so beautiful. And I was so sad to leave them when we couldn't bring them home. We have nowhere to
find out. We took like an armload of them with us.
And our bouquets. And that was
bouquets, it. But it was like, how am I... You can't really take
no, but they were the prettiest flowers.
They were absolutely stunning.
They were perfect.
My best friend from college came.
The one that you wanted to be your maid of
the
honor
one that
first
I wanted
time.
To be
we didn't my... have a maid of honor or any or a wedding party or any of that for this one. We kept it more casual, but
we did. But the fact that she was there and she was right next to me,
yeah.
meant the world.
Yeah, yeah.
I got really emotional.
You did. It's sweet, but okay. So overall, though, looking at the day, was it? Are you happy with it? Were you like, this was great and beautiful?
Yes. And the Star Trek fevers. And
we're going to get to that,
that
in a minute.
Made me very happy.
Yeah.
And it was, I think it was as much us as we could make it, considering the circumstances.
Yes.
And I will say I have a whole lot more respect for wedding planners right now.
Like, yeah. This was supposed to be easy.
This was a small,
this
kind of small, easy
wedding. Easy.
Yeah.
And it was not easy.
Yeah. I mean, not super small. We had like around 75 guests. We had invited a little over 100. But so it's not super small, but it's not like some huge extravagant thing. But all right, Tilly, let's get on with it already. During our original wedding, from what memories I do have, it's so hard to describe. here was the most amazing woman in the world, and she was telling the world she loved me so much she wanted to be with me forever. And I was doing the same, and oh my God, that was the most amazing thing. But on top of the tux, I was now being called a husband, and I'm pretty sure the officiant said to Susan, "Do you take this man to be?" And it killed me. It killed me. It was so incredibly man-coded in every way, as traditional cishet weddings are. So the best day of my life to that point was also completely horrible and painful and sent me into a 20-foot hole and covered me over with concrete. I've talked before how photos and reflections can be so tough for trans people because we never see ourselves in them pre-transition. See that Trans Tuesday for more at tillystranstuesdays.com. And if you want to see when, around 2.5 years into my transition, they suddenly got better when my face changed enough from hormone replacement therapy, see the Trans Tuesday on Photos 2, aka the Selfie Apocalypse, also at tillystranstuesdays.com. I'm to the point now where even photos other people take of me, I often like, though not always, but they don't usually spike my dysphoria, I just think they're bad photos. And frankly, people should honestly only post the good photos of me that they take. That's just science. But I'm talking about photos here because I think the best way to show you the difference in me from original dysphoria wedding to post-transition euphoria wedding is to actually show you. So again, do check out the Google Doc version of this because you can see original wedding dysphoria me compared to re-wedding real me. I mentioned in that Trans Tuesday on Photos how I had a wedding photo on my dresser, and I see it every day of my life, but that's not me in it, and it reminds me of our wedding, yay, but also how much pain I was in, boo. Go see it and look at those dead eyes. That very obviously super fake smile. And this was the one photo from that entire day I liked enough to put on display. It makes me feel terrible just looking at it. Is that photo fooling anyone? Would anyone look at that and say, that guy looks so happy? By the way, we have to get a print of a new one so I can replace that finally. You can see where I cut myself shaving on my chin because for that day I shaved closer than I ever had in my life to that point. I didn't want any stubble whatsoever anywhere on my face for this day, whereas usually I avoided shaving because the act gave me dysphoria, but so did having facial hair. It's almost as if subconsciously I knew that any stubble or facial hair combined with the tux would be too much dysphoria, it'd do me in and I wouldn't be able to handle it, huh? I couldn't have told you it was gender dysphoria at the time, but that's what all of it was, and I literally only made that connection to why I shaved so damn ultra close that day right as I wrote this. Ha ha. There were no signs, right? Yes, there were. Of course there were. Thousands. Check out episode 6 of this show for more on the signs were always there. Okay, so there's a candid shot of me from our re-wedding that I love. I adore it with all my heart. It's not the one where I look the prettiest or super stunning or anything. It's because I can see my joy. I can see the life and light in my eyes, and I'm looking at Susan, the love of my life, right after our first dance after the ceremony. You should look at it and look at the difference. How different was I at the re-wedding from our first one? How did that make you feel? Did it change your experience? Was I very different from the first one? I had to have been.
Sure. You actually went around and talked to everyone. That's the big change.
Sure. But I mean, in relation to you and what we did together during the day, was it different for you because of me being different now and out and me?
I was definitely happier, but like,
you were happier with me?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, you are obviously much more comfortable.
Yeah.
And I am not hugely comfortable with big parties. So, yeah. Like, you were definitely much more comfortable.
Well, I'm kind of extroverted now, so.
Which is a total change.
It is. Our first dance at the re-wedding was to All I Know So Far by Pink, which may be the most beautiful song ever written. This is my show. I get to decide, so shut up, okay? And I sang every word of it to Susan as I looked into her eyes, and I did my best not to cry and ruin the expensive makeup I paid a very nice pro makeup artist to come and do for me. And if you don't know what Pink has meant to me in my transition, oh yeah, there's a Trans Tuesday about her and finding her own representation in episode 12 of this podcast. The difference in those two photos blows my entire fluffy mind. That's how I should have felt the first time we got married, and now I actually got to, and it was legit the best feeling in the world. I was so happy and so free and so much more myself than I was at the first one. Like, I never used to dance, ever, or anything. At our original wedding, I did the first dance with Susan and nothing more, and I had not danced at all in public since, not even once. Because I didn't want attention. I couldn't stand the thought of people looking at me, seeing the false shell, forcing me to play the part I didn't know how to play, didn't want to play, and that wounded me to the core. And so, yeah, I danced every second that I felt like it, which was often. There's even photographic proof. Unfortunately, possibly due to there being no actual dance floor, basically nobody else danced at our re-wedding, and certainly nobody else danced with me. It was kind of sad, but I danced anyway. We told the DJ to play a custom playlist that I made myself, and it was filled with straight bangers. I was so surprised that a lot of people said that they loved the music without even knowing it was all my doing. That's so cool. If you'd like to see the custom playlist I made, there's a link in the show notes. The DJ asked us to divide it into must play and play if possible, and to include at least 140 songs, because they don't play entire songs and mix between as DJs do. That's another thing at our original wedding. We gave the DJ a list of songs not to play, and he ignored it, and he played stuff we didn't want at our wedding, and it was bad.
And look, I am well aware that we are taking away the DJ's agency and
but we are paying them,
but
it's our party.
We're kind of really picky about music.
Yeah.
So, sorry, this is how it's going to be.
Our DJ was great about it. He only played what was on that list, and he even asked, oh, if guests come up and make requests, you want me to take those? We're like, nope. The list only. Use whatever on there in any order you want.
Mix it how you feel like, but
although,
only on this list.
I would have loved to know if anyone did.
And what they asked for.
Yeah. But yeah, that was yet another sticking point.
Yeah.
The original
ceremony.
Yeah. He did not listen. And no, we had songs we didn't like played on our wedding day. And that's crap. That should not happen.
Although I swear to God, when we were at the brewery and
we had an after party and they played a song from our.
They played more than one song.
From our first wedding.
From
which,
our first
and
wedding.
Songs
that
we did not
we hated.
Like.
It was the most bonkers thing.
It was.
It was just, I swear to God, the universe had it out for us that day a little bit.
A little bit. Well, there's one other song I want to mention specifically by name, and it relates to my finally feeling free enough to dance in public, but we'll come back to that in a bit. One of our dearest lifelong friends, the one Susan mentioned before, brought her husband, who we'd only met once before because we live very far apart, and he asked her what I was like. She told me that she told him that I was incredibly quiet and reserved until I really got to know you and would open up a little, but that took a very long time. Hey, dysphoria, I talked about that. It was really hard for me. Anyway, this was midway through our re-wedding where I'd been dancing and smiling and having the time of my life in public in front of everyone I love, and I'm not remotely quiet or shy anymore. So she told me it seems I was operating on old information and I almost died. A clearer picture of the changes transition has brought to my life you may never find. See the Trans Tuesday and Confidence and how I'm now not only fine with being noticed and taking up space, I actually like it. I'm done making myself small for any reason. Check out episode 31 for more on that. Now, if you didn't know, Susan and I met online writing Star Trek fanfic when we were wee babes. Because we were giant nerds and both loved Trek the most and were writers, and honestly, nothing could be more perfectly us. And we wanted to reflect that in our re-wedding, so our guest book was a selection of over 100 Star Trek postcards spanning all the shows people could write messages on and drop in our subspace communications box, which was decorated with laminated pics of Star Trek romances. We are giant nerds. Our wedding favor bags were in the Star Trek division colors and had Federation insignias on the back. The inside had typewriter keys turned into magnets that spelled L-O-V-E, Italian wedding almonds, and a raffle ticket. All the table centerpieces were made by us and were small TVs with alien plants coming out the top and a laminated photo of one Trek TV show crew in the front, so it was quote-unquote displayed on the TV, and we raffled those off to the people who attended. We even wrote 10 jokes about plants to put on the back of each of them because we are bananas masquerading as people. Do you want to hear the 10 jokes we came up with for the backs? Sure you do. They were all in the Elcars style, the computer display system used in the majority of Star Trek shows, and opened with, sourced from across the Federation and the deepest corners of the Delta and Gamma quadrants, this selection of xenoflora includes the... And then continued to a different joke on the back of each one. We should alternate these. You should read some of them.
All right.
All right, you do the first one.
Screaming foliagmus of abwesmic. I hate you for. Why would you abwemsic for? Which emits a high frequency screech that renders humanoids unconscious whenever left alone. Do not leave unattended.
The Kelpian Abyssal Rotohelix, which routinely opens microportals to feed on subspace particles, storing near warp cores may result in deconstruction of humanoids and destruction of all life in the universe.
Andorian Dandyvalencia, which expels spores that burrow into a host's epidermis and gestate, causing Valencia specimens to sprout at the impact site. These specimens may then be removed and potted in carbon-rich soil.
The Iconian Leafhaver, which winks out of existence only to reappear elsewhere in the galaxy, it then immediately returns faster than the eye can see. In fact, it just did it now, but you missed it because you were reading this.
Mycelial Net Spreader, which is attached to every other instance of itself throughout the galaxy via an interconnected network. Failure to tend to it will result in the death of the entire galaxy-wide being, making you one of history's greatest monsters.
The Vulcan Floating Razor Leaf, whose leaves will detach with the slightest breeze and float about. The leaf edges are sharp enough to score tritanium, and if handled carefully, can also be used to give bowl-shaped haircuts. Do not handle.
Denobulan Bringer of Darkness, which when angry can absorb all light within a 50-foot radius from ultraviolet to infrared. This effect lasts from 4 to 12,875 days until the Denobulan Bringer of Darkness's mood has improved and has no known counter. Do not anger.
The potent Andrunkifier of Orion, whose odor is known to cause intoxication-like effects in humanoids and felines. Do not inhale while operating heavy machinery or piloting a starship. Failure to comply may result in court-martial.
Klingon Depth Spikiferonicus, known for its sharp and arresting appearance, is a very gentle plant that will sing to its owner if it enjoys your company, but Klingons would have you believe otherwise to keep all the singing for themselves.
I also brought along a framed photo of my dad, who didn't get to be part of our original wedding in any way for complicated and bad reasons. Check out the Trans Tuesday on Parents Who Will Never Know the Real You, aka My Dad, if you want to hear me sniffling and crying through the entire thing, in episode 24. We even had Star Trek reflected in our ceremony, oh yes we did, because we used the stunningly beautiful Klingon wedding ceremony from Deep Space Nine as the basis, and that worked out extra well because that wedding was between Jadzia Dax and Worf, and Dax was so important to me for reasons I didn't understand as a trans kid. There will be a Trans Tuesday on her at some point. And also, I'm a lot like her, and Susan is a lot like Worf, and honestly, it couldn't have been more perfect.
I am a lot like Worf.
Yep. Our officiant was a dear friend of ours named Jen. What follows is the ceremony and my vows. Susan did not want to share hers, and I respect that. Which we kept secret from each other and heard for the first time as we spoke them to each other. This is the ceremony part that was read by Jen. Friends and family, honored guests, Federation citizens, and foolish mortals, I am Lady Jen, and I thank you for joining us here today. I stand before you as a magnificent human who means the world to Tilly and Susan, and I have to say that out loud because they wrote this and I agreed to say it, so really, that's on me. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that there will be a drawing to determine who gets to take home these very cool and unique centerpieces that Susan and Tilly made. Wow, they really are creative and generous, aren't they? Gosh. I'm so glad they wrote that for me to say. Your raffle tickets are in your wedding favor bags. Hopefully you didn't eat it along with the almonds. I would also like to remind you that you are all invited to the after party from 6 to 10 p.m. There will be a food truck with ostensibly food and plenty of booze and non-booze drinks available. But a quick reminder, Romulan ale is strictly prohibited by the Federation Charter, Section 99, Subsection 3, Paragraph 27. And now let us get to the reason we are here today. To talk of connection and friendship and family and love. With fire and steel did the gods forge the Klingon heart that got a huge laugh. All because we're nerds and everyone knows what nerds we are.
I could not believe this was actually happening.
Yeah. So fiercely did it beat, so loud was the sound that the gods cried out, "On this day we have brought forth the strongest heart in all the heavens. None can stand before it without trembling at its strength." But then the Klingon's heart weakened, its steady rhythm faltered, and the gods said, "Why have you weakened so? We have made you the strongest in all of creation." And the heart said,
"I am alone."
And the gods knew that they had erred, so they went back to their forge and brought forth another heart. And the heart said, and this was my line, "If we join together, no force can stop us." And the first heart said, and this is where Susan's vows were, but she didn't want to be in this episode for the entire world to hear, which is absolutely fine, but they were beautiful and hilarious, and they touched my heart. And she got the biggest laugh of the entire thing, which I'm very jealous of.
That was a great moment.
And it was at my expense, but it was so good. You'll never know. I'm sorry. And the second heart said, and here are my vows. I think I've written and rewritten this 27 times now, and I still don't know if I got it right. At first, I thought I did, and I was super proud of myself as I'd somehow forgotten what first drafts are actually like. And then I thought, surely draft 5 is where it's at, but then I wondered if it was funny enough. Should it be funnier? It should probably be funnier. We're very funny people, as everyone here will confirm, because this is our day and that's the law. Otherwise, you go to wedding jail. Sorry, I don't make the rules. Should there be actual vows in here? I vow to do this and I vow to do that. Gosh, I don't know. This is so hard. I wish I had a writing partner. Oh, wait. And this is what I figured out. This is so difficult to write because even though I'm a writer, I find words inadequate to express the depth of my love for you. But also because I'm writing them alone and I don't want to write them alone. I want to write them with you. I want to be with you. I want to do everything with you because you are the air that gives me life and lifted me up so I could learn to fly. So yes, let's bow. I'm all in on earnestness and maybe it'll be good. Anything's possible. I vow to be the wife that you deserve, which is nothing less than the best in all existence. But that should be fine, right? I am amazing. No pressure. I vow to continue to be your best friend and your writing partner, your laughing, crying, living, breathing, struggling, failing, winning, succeeding, everything partner, every day until the end of time, and then at least a couple of weeks beyond that. But speaking of earnestness, let me really dig in, because when else will I ever get the chance to be uncomfortably vulnerable in front of all the people we love and care about, and now everyone listening to this? I gotta seize the moment to thank you for giving me the space, time, and patience to find myself. You let me experiment, you let me discover, you let me uncover my truth, figure out who I am, become who I've always been but never thought I could actually be. And that could never have happened, I could never have happened without you. I am here in front of you all in this amazing dress with the most fabulous hair, looking so super hot. It's okay if you're too intimidated to tell me. I am here. I am happy. I am hot and I exist because of you. We promised to keep these vows to a single page, and that's supremely unfair to me because I don't know how to shut up. I'm not sure why I'm saying this except to let me complain about a thing I agreed to. Maybe to relieve some pressure, I should delete this in revisions. Whoops. Anyway, here we are, doing our wedding again all these years later, as the real you and the real me, two super queer and incredibly stunning ladies, doing it the way we want, with all of the people we love, and it is the honor of my life to stand in front of them, and the magnificent and brilliant Lady Jen, and our fantastic son, who we love so much, and you, Susan, my princess, to say that you are my light, and my warmth, and my best friend, and my breath, and my heart, and my life. You are my home. You are my everything. I will be with you until the world blows up. And I'll love you longer than always and farther than forever.
I love you.
I love you, babe.
And then Jen, our officiant, continued. And when the two hearts began to beat together, they filled the heavens with a terrible sound. For the first time, the gods knew fear. They tried to flee, but it was too late. The Klingon hearts destroy the gods who created them and turn the heavens to ashes. To this very day, no one can oppose the beating of two Klingon hearts. Susan, daughter of Italy and Germany, of the planet Earth, challenger of repressives and regressives, does your heart beat only for this woman?
Yes.
And will you swear to join with her and stand with her against all who oppose you?
I swear.
Tilly, daughter of Wayne in parts unknown, champion of truth and imagination, does your heart beat only for this woman?
Yes.
And do you swear to join with her and stand with her against all who would oppose you? I swear. Then let all present here today know that these women are remarried, and now there will be smooching. And folks, if you've never heard nearly all of the people you love and care about in the entire world roar and cheer when you kissed your wife at your real true wedding as your real true self, goddamn, there's nothing else like it. Also, what I said in my vows was completely true. I am who I am. I am me. I was able to transition because of the love and support Susan gave me. I talked about that in the Trans Tuesday on Cis Spousal and Partner Support just last week in episode 71. What was the ceremony like for you? Tell me about it.
It was amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You weren't sure when I first said, maybe we should do the Klingon wedding. You were a little hesitant at first.
I was, but you know how I am. I have to think about things.
Well, of course.
We were figuring out where to fit our vows in.
Yeah.
And opinions.
You did.
And at first you were like, it's fine. And I was like, it isn't fine. It's not fine.
This is how our writing goes, always.
And then I found a way that it was fine.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, yeah, that is better.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how we work on everything.
It is.
But yeah, having a full crowd to react, like, that's kind of fun.
It was wild, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was like the neatest part.
Oh, no, that was the best part. Not me, not kissing and remarrying me, but the people who applauded for you. Okay.
It's all very different. I tell you I love you all the time.
Yes.
But not in front of,
I know,
75 people.
Yeah.
That's a very different thing.
Who then scream and cheer for you.
Yeah.
That was wild.
That was pretty great.
I'm going to finally close this out with the other song I wanted to mention. I talked about how some things went wrong with the day, but truly the only regret I have is this. As our last song of the day, in which the DJ was to encourage everyone there to get up and dance with us, if able and comfortable, was Pink's Never Gonna Not Dance Again. Because it's a song about exactly what I'm feeling, about never not dancing again, because I won't make myself small, I won't hide, I'm not miserable, I'm full of love and life and joy, and I want to share it with everyone I love in this world. But it's also very much a kind of a death before detransition song, because it's about not giving up your own joy to make someone else happy, about not being who someone else wants you to be at the expense of your own joy, because this is your life and you have to be you and do what makes you happy. And since I first heard it, all I could think of was having a giant dance party to it with all of my friends. And so I wanted to close out this day with it, and it would be magical. But we haven't thrown any kind of events or parties since our original wedding, and I'd forgotten that nobody stays the entire time. The DJ had instructions to play it like 10 minutes before the end of the reception, and by then, everyone had gone. It played to an empty ballroom with just me and Susan and our kid, and the photographer and the aforementioned lifelong friend who stayed to help us carry things back out to our car. And as this song I love, that was so important to me, echoed around the empty ballroom, I was so sad none of my friends were there to dance with me. And so, the only solution is that we need to have another huge party for our anniversary in 5 years, and all of our friends will hopefully have heard this and know that we will listen to that song early and you will dance with me and it will be amazing. You want to do it all again in 5 years?
Aw.
Come on. It'll go back. It can't. What if it's not going to get rained out again, right? What are the chances? I just jinxed us, didn't I?
We can talk about it.
I never knew a day like that was possible. I never knew someone could feel so good, so human and whole and loved. What a difference a life makes. Let's do it again in 5 years, Susan. Every year, every day, you're my everything. I will be with you until the world blows up. And thank you for listening to this and all my Trans Tuesdays. You're an important part of my life, too. Tilly Bridges and Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The Google Doc and social media versions of this week's topic and all past topics are available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky, Twitter, and Hive, on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, at facebook.com/tillysbridges, and on Insta and Threads at heckyeahtillybridges. And you can find Susan on most of those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies, where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.